Welcome to Truth for the Journey from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Level Road in Amherst. Please join us today as Pastor Jeffrey Campbell leads us in an in-depth study in the book of Jonah. Today's scripture is chapter 3, and the sermon is entitled, Go Again.
Tonight we open up Jonah chapter 3 together. And as you know, that this is a very, very interesting and godly story. We see God in the pages and in each chapter and in the life of Jonah through this story. We have seen him disobey and try to run from God. We have seen a great storm come up. We have seen him thrown overboard. We have seen Jonah be swallowed by a great fish. And last week we looked at life inside the belly of that big fish and how Jonah would pray and God would have that big fish spit him out up on the shore. And so we see all of that Jonah has encountered is because he was running from God and God was mercifully trying to get him back in his will. After 3 days, 3 nights in that whale, Jonah has been spit up on dry land. And we ended last time by saying that Jonah was back in the will of God just for this moment. As his feet landed upon the dry land, he is in the will of God. And God has his attention. God has never left him. And also we are reminded that Jonah has never left God's sight. As hard as he has tried to run, as far as he thought he could get, as deep down in the bottom of that ship as he would bury himself, he could never get away from God and out of God's hand of protection over his life. And so God has his attention and he has had God's eye the entire time. So what happens now? After this experience of a storm and being thrown overboard and being swallowed by a whale and being spewed out of the mouth of the whale onto dry land, does Jonah just go home? Or does he tell anybody about it? Does he open his mouth or does he just keep his mouth shut? Well, notice that I believe that God doesn't give him a lot of time before he calls again. And in chapter number 3, we're going to see very quickly God calling to him again. So tonight, if you're fleeing or if you're battling it out with God, listen to that still small voice that is trying to direct you and that is trying to speak to you. You may think it is your mind, but I believe it is the Holy Spirit. I believe it is the voice of God that uses our conscience and that uses that still small voice to guide us exactly where he needs us to be. God still wants to use you. And that's what we're going to see tonight from Jonah's life. This part of Jonah's life, even though he has been rebellious and has refused, guess what? God still wants to use him. And so tonight, if you are here and you are running or rebelling or refusing, here's my message to you as a child of God. God still wants to use you in his great plan. He doesn't waste any time getting back to business. And so when we think of that, I think of the game of basketball and the basketball player that misses shot and he comes down and he takes another shot and sooner or later after he misses 2 or 3 shots, he begins to lose confidence in himself. And so there are times that I watch people I know and even my own son play basketball and you miss a shot or two and you just say, okay, I'm not going to take any more shots. And the next thing you know, the game's gotten out of hand because nobody really wants to step up and take the shot. Well, Wayne Gretzky says these words, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. And so I'm not going to use the basketball game anymore, but I want to speak to that spiritually. If you're not willing to step out and be obedient to God and to follow what he wants you to do, you're never going to succeed. You're never going to be in his will. And you will miss out on the joy that it is to be in the will of God. And so tonight, when we think about being in the will of God. Right now, Jonah finds himself there. And we're told that he is going to go again. And so maybe tonight it's Jonah getting a second chance, or maybe it's the children of Israel asked to march again, or maybe it's Peter told to cast his net again, but this time on the other side of the boat. Jonah has been asked to go and go again. And tonight we're going to clearly see how God works when we're obedient to the plans he has for our lives. And maybe this will be a challenge to you, that if you're not going right now, that you will heed the call of God to go in his name and go with his message and go to people that he loves and share the good news and the message that he puts on your heart. And so tonight, go again is the message, is the title in which we look at. Look at verses 1 and 2 of Jonah chapter number 3. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. Two verses start us out tonight, but I want to just start out by saying this. Praise God for second chances. You could see how that easily could never have happened. The second chance may have never happened if God did not intervene throughout the big fish and through sending that big fish. But throughout your Bible, you meet people who have been forgiven and still used by God and given second and third chances. And so we must be careful here not to tempt God or make excuse for sin, or make excuse for running from God. But I'm thankful for the second and the third and the tenth chances that God has given me. But I want you to see this commission, the assignment, the call upon Jonah's life, number one, is undeserved. The second time means that it is undeserved. If he would have listened the first time, there wouldn't have been need of a second time. But because he did not listen the first time, this second time is an undeserved. He didn't do anything to deserve it. God graciously gives him another chance. And the second thing I want you to see is this. God has never abandoned Jonah. He still wants to use him. And so we see that as the Lord comes to him and they have been battling it out, that he still wants to use Jonah. As Jonah stands on that shore, he still needs to travel. He's got to go somewhere. He's got to be obedient to where the Lord leads him. There's no more fleeing, but the call to arise and go to Nineveh. Nineveh is spoken of here as a great city. Now, that is not greatness in the fact of what maybe we think it is, but in the world day, it was a great city. It was populated. It was a business city of the day. And it was the place that Jonah is called to go. But chapter number one tells us the bad part of this city. The city is wicked, and that wickedness of the city has gotten the Lord's attention. It has come up before him. In chapter 3, verse number 8, God's word speaks of Nineveh as a city. It says, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. So we see that this city is referred to as an evil city and a violent city. It is a place that maybe many of us today would be warned to steer clear of. It is one that Jonah wants to steer clear of. And so we see that God knows that Nineveh has problems. He knows what the problems are, and he has the answer. And that answer is, Jonah, you've got to go preach to them. But Jonah also knows the people of Nineveh, and he knows Nineveh has problems, and he thinks that Nineveh is the problem. But really, who is the problem? The problem is Jonah, because he didn't listen to the Lord. There are times that we must be obedient to God, even though we don't want to, or when we think We have a better plan. God's plan was this. You preach what I tell you, not your message, not your feelings. You just preach what I tell you to preach. And you follow me step by step, and you give them the message at the right time when I give it to you, and I will bless it, and I will use it. And so, as Jonah arises to go and to deliver that message, he enters this city. But I want you to think of this little statement here. When God sends you, when God sends you out to accomplish a task, your inabilities and others' instability have been factored in with God's capabilities. I'm going to say that one more time. When you have a calling of God, your inabilities and others' instability have been factored in with God's capabilities. You cannot go, you cannot do, you cannot speak, you cannot preach without the Lord. God is sending Jonah. We must be people who go knowing that we are God sent and knowing that God will take care of you. So Jonah has been commissioned by the voice of God to get up, to arise, to go to Nineveh, to that great city, and preach into it a message. He doesn't know the message yet. He just knows he's got to go to this city and he's got to preach. God sent him. And I believe just like God sent Jonah, God sends you and I as believers today. He has given us talents and abilities. He has given us assignments to go out into the world and to minister in his name. And we are God sent as well. Look at verses 3 and 4 of chapter 3. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Point number 2 tonight is this. When God sends, we see Jonah goes. Jonah went. God sent, Jonah went. Human responsibility. Jonah has learned a hard lesson as he obeys the call of God to go to Nineveh. He figures out that he can't go in his own strength or of his own strength. The word of the Lord leads him, has called him. He knows that God is with him, and he is doing exactly what God would have him to do. As he gets to Nineveh, look at the end of verse number 3. It says this, that Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. It was a big city, and that 3 days' journey is a reference to how big it was. If Jonah were to walk around this city, if he was just to walk the streets of this city, it would take him 3 days to cover the vastness of this city. And I just want to just plant this little seed. It's the same amount of time, 3 days, that Jonah spent in the big fish. So when the Lord calls you to do something, you can spend your days running and refusing and rebelling in the pit of despair or the pit of that big fish's belly, or you can see the enormous task, the 3 days just to walk around it, and you just trust God in that. Where do I start? What do I say? You can know a God that no matter how many questions come to your mind, you can know that God is bigger than all of your questions, all of your concerns, all of your anxieties, and he is even bigger than the city or the place that God calls you to go. He will give you exactly what you need. Verse number 4, it says this, and Jonah began to enter the city a day's journey, and he cried and said, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. Now, he could have turned around. As he enters this city, he could have turned and he could have walked away. He could have gotten caught up in the vastness of the city and all the things going on there. But he enters the city, and it's on his shoulders now. It's his responsibility to be obedient to God. And so As he enters this city, he enters it not on his own strength, not in his own power. He enters it with God going before him and God being with him. But he also enters it with a message of God. Now, verse number 4 says that he enters the city a day's journey. What does that mean? He walks for one whole day as he is walking the streets of this city, as he's taking in the sights. He's walking, trying to figure out, okay, God, where do you want me and what do you want me to say? Where am I to stop in this great city? Where's my pulpit? Where should I preach from in this big old city? And so he goes a third of the journey, a third of the way throughout the city. And so I want you to see that this is a big commitment. He's not standing on the outskirts of the city. He's not just saying, if something goes wrong, I can get out of here. And if these evil and violent people get mad and worked up, they're going to kill me. I can leave it quickly. No, he is committed. He walks one full day into the city of Nineveh. And he gets to that spot where God has told him to stop. He licks his lips. He clears his throat. And only the way that Jonah can, because God called Jonah, and only the way that Jonah can, he says, in 40 days, Nineveh will be overthrown. I don't believe that's the entirety of the message that Jonah has, but I believe that was the emphasis of the message. It was a one-point sermon, and that was this: in 40 days, your city is going to be overthrown by God. Now, many of us would be afraid to preach that message, but here's the reality. The clock is ticking. The clock is ticking on those in Nineveh. It is the message that God has given him. He is committed to it. He has delivered it. Jonah went. People's eternity is at stake here. And that's the seriousness of the message. But that is why God needed a messenger as well. God's mercy is there. And I'm grateful for that, because eternal judgment awaits for those people of Nineveh because they are wicked and they are not of God. Today, as we finish up this point about Jonah going or Jonah went, will we be faithful? When God calls us to do something, whether it's to speak a word, whether it's to be a faithful prayer warrior, when God calls you to go and to do, whether it's missions, whether it's serving in your local church, when God calls you to faithfully do something, will we be faithful to speak the name of Jesus? Will we be faithful to go when God calls us? I pray that we are. The story doesn't stop there. It goes on. Look at verse number 5 through 9. It says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God and proclaimed a fast and put on a sackcloth, from the greatest of them even to the least of them. For the word came unto the king of Nineveh, and he arose from his throne and laid his robe from him, covered him with sackcloth, and sat in ashes. And he caused it to be proclaimed and published through Nineveh by the decree of the king and his nobles, saying, Let neither man nor beast, herd nor flock, taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water, but let man and beast be covered with sackcloth and cry mightily unto God. Yea, let them turn everyone from his evil way and from the violence that is in their hands." Who can tell if God will turn and repent and turn away from his fierce anger, that we perish not? So God sent, Jonah went. Now Nineveh repents. That's the third point. Nineveh repents. Where does repentance begin? Where does the turn from sin to God begin? It begins when people believe in God, believe what they are hearing. In verse number 5, it says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God." They didn't believe Jonah. They were not scared of Jonah. They did not even reference Jonah here. They believed God, noticing it was a word of the Lord, and it was a word that filtered through and flowed through the prophet Jonah. And so when he faithfully preached it, even though it was a hard message, People responded to God. And so I want to say today that you and I are just the conduit. Sometimes we think, oh gosh, I can't do this. Or, oh, what will happen? Or what will people say? Or I'll stumble and I'll trip over my words. We need to realize that we are just the conduit that God uses to speak to flow through to those that he's trying to reach. And so this is a great point here. The people respond to the message, and the people believed God. And so we're grateful to see that, hey, that the same thing happens in our day. When we are faithful, people are not responding to preachers or people not responding to us individuals. People respond to the word of God. It doesn't just stop with those around Jonah. Look at the king of Nineveh. The king of Nineveh, he vacates his throne. He takes off his robe. He puts on sackcloth. He sits in ashes. Notice the position that the king is taking. So they have declared a fast, and this king is now participating as he has declared it, and he is now participating. He says it just isn't for the least. It's going to the greatest in the kingdom, including the king himself. And so the king, he vacates his throne. He takes off his robe. He puts on that sackcloth, and you see in scripture him sitting in ashes. This position is teaching us that even the king recognizes that he deserves punishment. He deserves judgment. But it doesn't stop there. He understands that. He is remorseful. He has repented. And we see that that heart, as he sits in those ashes as the leader of this city, he is saying before God and before his people that he is deserving of punishment, but he also proclaims and publishes. He puts out the word. He proclaims it with his mouth. He publishes it in the writing of the day, in the print of the day, and he gets the message out. And that man nor beast nor flock taste anything, let them not feed nor drink water. That this fast and this mourning period is for every person, but also including the animals of the day. They are to cease eating and drinking. They are to be covered with sackcloth. And the last part is they are to cry mightily unto God. As verse number 8 says, they are to cry out mightily to God. And then they are to turn from their evil way and from the violence that is in their hands. They are to change their ways. They are to turn from what they are doing. And so we see that God is working throughout the hearts of the people of Nineveh and even in the king that is sitting on the throne. Now note, he has vacated the throne and he is sitting in ashes. What a picture of the turn of the people of Nineveh and the king of Nineveh. But also that symbolizes the turn from us. When we turn to God, the throne of our heart must be vacated. We must give that throne over to God Almighty, and we must let him have control and reign, and we must be obedient to him in our own lives. And so what a great picture that we see here in scripture, that the king is vacated the throne. Now, maybe tonight there's that your heart and what sits on its throne needs to be vacated and changed. And you need to make room that God sit on your throne. Let God sit there. Let God inhabit the throne of your heart. And so we understand that that's exactly what the king is doing, but that's exactly what the people of Nineveh are doing. And I'm grateful that God has sent, Jonah has went, and now we see Nineveh repenting. And the last part of their repenting is found in verse number 9, that we perish not. They don't want the anger of God. They are desiring the mercy of God, that they do not perish, that they do not want to die. So that brings us to the last verse of chapter number 3, verse number 10. And God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way. And God repented of the evil that he had said he would do unto them, and he did it not. God, checking from his throne, looks down at the throne of the people of Nineveh, and it has been vacated. The evidence is there. They have turned from their evil and wicked ways. They are turning to God. Their lifestyle is changing. They are repenting. They are full of sorrow. They have turned to God. When you sincerely turn, God takes note of it. And as the people of Nineveh turn from sin and turn to God, God takes note of it, and his heart softens toward those of Nineveh, and he relents of the destruction he had promised through Jonah, through the message that he had sent. He relents of that judgment. Man, God is so merciful, and he spares the people of Nineveh from judgment, from destruction, from eternal separation from God. So this is a mighty, mighty, mighty revival. It could be labeled the greatest revival in Scripture. I believe every time one man, one person turns to God, comes to Jesus in faith, I believe all of heaven rejoices over that one, because that's what Scripture teaches us. But because of one man's obedience to the Lord, and when the Lord told him to go, we are given the number 60,000 in chapter number 4, verse number 11. 120,000 lives have changed for eternity because of God's mercy and because of one man's obedience. We look at people that we are familiar with. Maybe you have a local pastor that you love and that you dearly follow and that you know they preach the word of God. Praise God for that. But we look at people like Jerry Falwell or David Jeremiah or Billy Graham or whatever other preacher that you like. You look at these men of God, but I think Jonah can be put in that category. Men with the faithful message of God. Jonah was a faithful man in this chapter. In this chapter, chapter number 3, Jonah was faithful. And he had the faithful message of God. Remember, it's not about Jonah. It's about the message that God has given him. And so the faithful man delivers the word of God, and thousands of lives have changed. Here's my prayer as we wind up chapter number 3 and we look forward to chapter number 4. My prayer is your life has been changed by the truth of God. Maybe you need to go again. Maybe you have been running or rebelling or refusing. Maybe tonight through the Holy Spirit's work in your heart after hearing this message, maybe you understand that it's time for you to go again. You need to go and do. And I pray that all of us seek that which God has for us to do. Maybe you need to turn from sin. And maybe you need to turn to Jesus for salvation. God will relent of the punishment. We understand that if you close your eyes in death on this earth without Jesus, we understand the promises of God that hell is a real place. Hell is a hot place, is a place of torment, and it is a forever place. And it's for those who do not know Jesus. It was the place that the Ninevites were destined to go. And that's where Jonah wanted them to go. But that's not what God wanted. And so tonight, is there a person that will hear this message and that through the Holy Spirit's work in your life, you will understand, yes, I'm one of those people that need Jesus, that simply by understanding his love for me, that I am a sinner, and that because God loved me enough, he sent his son to die in my place, to shed his blood for my sin, to take upon him my death, not only to die in my place, but to rise on the third day to give me victory and a life over death and the grave. Tonight, if there's somebody that needs that, the people of Nineveh needed it, and they did not know it until they heard the message of God. Tonight, if you're hearing this message, it is of God. He loves you. He wants to lead your life. He wants you to turn to him tonight. Do not go another moment without putting your faith in Jesus Christ. Praise be to God. We pray for those that need to go again. And we pray for those that need Jesus the first time. Tonight, if this message ministers to you, my prayer is the Holy Spirit will lead you in these moments.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.